Okay, so let's see. Chassidus is trying to provide answers for Galus. Jews have been in Galus for 1,600 years. They're far away from their land. Not only that, it's not just the Galus, it's a very crushing and brutal Galus, and it's a very dark period in Jewish history. So part of the solution that Chassidus provides is based on Kabbalah, because in Kabbalah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Schios, not Hashem, but Hashem's Schios, His emanation, is in this entire world, no matter where you are. You could be in Yerushalayim, you could be in deep Poland or deep Romania, you could be in a Beis HaMedrash, you could be in a bar, and there are presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we call them Nitzotzos. And the goal of Kabbalah is to try to integrate all the aspects of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Hashem is meant to be indivisible, Hashem Echad, not meant to be split and divided, which is why Chassidim precede mitzvahs by saying, L'shem Yichud Kut Shebrich Hu, we're going to try to be Miyached, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divided parts. So, in some ways, and this is very, very fascinating, in Chassidus it may be better to be in Galus than to be in Eretz Yisrael. Because if you're in Eretz Yisrael, you're geographically limited by the parts of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's spread essence that you can interact with. Right? Because they're all over the world. There's no difference between Yerushalayim and between Poland, because Hashem's presence is all over and it's scattered, and you have to try to integrate it. So that's a good preface for Parshas Vayetze. What's happening in Parshas Vayetze? Now, another thing you'll see in today's Shir is how this Fasemis stitches together 5, 6, 7 elements. He had a very, very panoramic reading of Midrashim, of the Psukim. So he's going to take 5 or 6 elements, which I'm going to enumerate in a moment. He's going to stitch them together into one idea, which I'll describe with you. What are the 5 elements that you have in Parshas Ki Teitzeh? So first of all, the beginning of Parshas Ki Teitzeh, it's very, very dark. Vayalan Sham Kiva Shemesh. So it's nighttime, and it's dark. So it's a very, very dark scene. It's not light and radiant, but the sun is setting. Yaakov is sleeping on Hara Moriah. Number two, he's been abandoned by everything that can normally support someone. He doesn't have his parents, not his mother, not his father. I don't use the word abandonment that they did, like we'd use the word abandoned. They just left him on the street corner. But he doesn't have anyone to fall back upon. He's by himself. He's alone. He's severed from any source. He's totally dependent upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's dark, and he's frail, and he's dependent. Number three, okay? He davens Tfilas Ma'ariv, according to Chazal. So the first two aspects are what is described in the Pasuk. It's dark, and he's alone. The third aspect is, of course, Chazal, that this is the time he's been sakin. Shh, guys, shh. This is the time he's been sakin Tfilas Ma'ariv. According to the Gemara in Brachos, Tfilas Ma'ariv is a Rishus. So he chooses to daven Ma'ariv. The other Tfilas become Chov. Ma'ariv is a Rishus. Okay, so it's dark. He's abandoned. Tfilas Ma'ariv is a Rishus. Number four, he's dreaming. Pasuk. Number five, the Medrash says that, well, before the Medrash, number five is, he doesn't realize that Hashem is there. Achen yesh Hashem ha-makom hazeh, v'enochi lo yodati. All of a sudden, the word makom, the very powerful word, v'yifka b'makom, achen yesh Hashem ha-makom hazeh, but he doesn't realize that Hashem's there, he discovers it. Number six, the Medrash says, that there's a ladder of malachim ascending and descending. Hashem tells them this symbolizes the empires of the world that will ascend and descend. If you go up the ladder, Yaakov, the Jews will never have to descend. Yaakov, unlike the other empires, Yaakov chooses not to go up that ladder, which is a fateful decision. Now, according to the Simchat Medrash, he chooses not to go up the ladder because he's afraid. Like the other empires, if he goes up the ladder, he'll have to fall down the ladder and the Jewish empire will decline. But according to the Sfasemis, there's a different reason he makes a decision not to go up that ladder. So let's review the 5, 6, 7 elements. It's dark, he's abandoned, he doesn't ascend the ladder, he dreams, he davens Ma'ariv, which is Rishus, and he realizes Hashem is Barakom Hazeh. So what's basically happening is Yaakov is setting a template for Jewish history. There are places you wouldn't think Hashem is there, but he is. And Yaakov willingly enters that scene. He could have avoided that entire situation, just gone on and continued on to Haran, because it's a dark place and he's alone. He's totally dependent upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he says, you know what? I'm going to choose to daven Ma'ariv. I'm going to choose to daven Ma'ariv here. Ma'ariv is going to be a choice. The other tefillos are not a choice. Yaakov chooses. Why does he choose? Because he wants to set a pattern for Jewish history that we will also be in very dark places. And we will also discover Achein Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh. And we will also be able to find Hashem's presence and integrate them, even in unlikely places. And the fact that he's dreaming means that he can't see Hashem clearly, which just reinforces the fact that it's dark. And if you're standing in Yerushalayim, you're not dreaming about Hashem, you're seeing Hashem. You're seeing Hashem very, very clearly and unmistakably. But if you're in a dark place and you don't see that Hashem is there, you can only see through a dream. And Yaakov decides not to ascend the ladder, even though Hashem promises him that if you ascend the ladder, then the Jewish people will never have to go into Galus. Because basically he wants to set a pattern for Galus for the Jewish people. Basically he realizes at some point his children are going to have to go into Galus. And therefore he'd rather willingly enter this dark, failed, compromised state to set a pattern for Jewish history that we can find a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the most unlikely places, even in dark, sunsetted. And he chooses all that. Now what's happening in the background is as follows. It's really important, I think a lot of people don't fully grasp this. When we say Maisa Avo Simen Labanim, we think that they live lifestyles that set certain examples for us. So for when I made Aliyah, I thought about Avram a lot. Well, what did Avram go through? If he made Aliyah, I should probably also make Aliyah. So he served as a role model for me. He served as an inspiration for me. In Chassidus and in Kabbalah, they don't just serve as inspiration, but I'm living their lives. Their examples, their experiences create modes and patterns that I live through almost as if they're alive today. What do I mean they're alive today? Because time is just a dimension, right? Just like place is a dimension. In Kabbalah, just like place doesn't make a difference because I'm interacting with worlds that I'm not really part of, so it's not my place, but I'm interacting with upper worlds. I'm also interacting with different time periods. So when Yaakov makes this decision in Parshas Vayetze, he's not just saying, oh, by the way, one day you'll be living in Romania. You should know I also was in a dark place. Read Vayetze and learn my example and get inspiration and reinforce yourself. No, he's creating a space in time that I walk through. When I'm living in Romania and I'm facing a dark period, I'm literally on Parshas Vayetze. I'm in that same place as Yaakov. And I am successful because Yaakov was successful, because he's basically plowing the ground, and I'm walking back to that same ground. And it's not just role models and examples as we read Bereishis. It's actually, that's what I'm looking for, it's actually living their lives and encountering their struggles and succeeding in their triumphs through them. It's almost vicarious. Obviously, you're not absolved of any responsibility and challenge, but you're aided and assisted not just by their examples and patterns, but created and existed by the very experiences. It's shared experience. That's a good way to phrase it. Shared experience. So let's repeat and review what we saw today. We saw the Sfas Emes' ability to take six or seven different elements from the Parsha, from Chazal, and weave them together. We saw the Sfas Emes say that certain parts of Yaakov's life don't just set examples for me, but create shared enterprises, shared experiences. What is happening here? HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is in places you wouldn't think. You have to be in those dark places. Yaakov knows that we're going to have to be in those dark places. Therefore, he stays in this dark place. He discovers HaKadosh Baruch Hu in these locations. He chooses not to ascend the ladder so he can live a Golas framework, because he knows we're going to have to live a Golas framework. He chooses to daven there. It's not something forced upon him. It's a choice because he wants to set those shared experiences for us. And because he dreams, it just shows that Hashem is not so evident in this place. You have to see him through a dream. Okay, Mitzvah Hashem, tomorrow we'll talk about Yiras Hashem. What type of Yiras Hashem does Yaakov feel here? Okay? Can I just ask you guys, because someone dumped his farm here. I guess, Alicia, you take the Rambams, please. They're right behind Ellie's desk, and I guess Moshe, if you can just take the Shulchan Aruch. The Rambams are 60, the Shulchan Aruch are 65. Maybe Elon, give them a hand, because people are going to want to use them. There's a couple more Rambams there. I'll help you divide them. Right behind Ellie's desk. I just walked to Ellie's makom where Rabbi Friedman sits.
Where did he farm from?
I don't know. Someone must have found them downstairs and just put them here.